Yeah, thank you very much, Don. And I just want to start by speaking to Ron a little bit. I don't know if you saw my little comment in the chat board, but there was the sad face, the little sad face when he said he won't be coming to those two retreats. And then there was the good job. I mean, really great job surrendering. And to be honest, my heart is blown wide open. And to some degree, I feel closer to you now, Ron. And the reason I feel closer to you now is because I'm so familiar with the act of surrender. I live in that state of surrender. And so when somebody else steps into that state, it's like you kind of stepped into the same room as me. So of course I'm closer to you, right? So you'd think I'd be closer if you came to the two retreats. But yeah, the surrender. And we'll still see what happens. You never know how the future is going to unfold, but good job. Thank you. All right. So let me open up to I'm opening consciousness in the absolute. And I'm opening up to November 25th, 1980. Last week we did read a message that, after I read the whole message, remember, I just thought the gist of the message was just be. And that's what we focused on. And I still feel that was the gist of the message. So I don't feel to go back to it and read it any deeper. I feel just to go right on to the next message. And that is November 28th, 1980. Maharaj says, people come here and stay for days, weeks, even months. The first few days, what they Sorry, I'm having trouble reading this. The first few days, what they have heard takes root. And that is when they should leave. So that what has taken root will have time to grow and blossom. As soon as the seed takes root, they must go. What has taken root must bloom. Must express itself within each heart. And I gotta say, I totally agree with him. I totally agree. When people come here for a retreat, for a week-long retreat, I think so far, I could be wrong, but I think so far, every single person who has come for a week-long retreat, there has been some kind of an insight. And then what needs to happen is they need to go home and they need to live that insight. Right? And then once that insight is really a part of them, then they can come back to another retreat. And take the next step. We call it taking your next step with God. Right, and you want to take a step. In fact, I recently, during my Seven Steps contemplation, this kind of came in, just the image of the stairway to heaven. And when you the stairway to heaven, and kind of the image that came to me as I was contemplating the seven steps, it was first of all a spiral stairway, but secondly, it wasn't grounded on anything. It was kind of a floating spiral stairway. And so it felt a bit shaky as you ascended it. It didn't feel solid. And so, in order to really ascend the stairway successfully, what you needed to do when you stepped up on a step is you kind of needed to pause on that step until the stairway quit shaking, right? Wait till it get back to its floating position in space, then you could step up to the next stairway. And every time you'd step, it would shake the stairway because it wasn't anchored on anything. So every time you'd step up, it'd shake the stairway, and you would just kind of stay on that stairway until you became established there and the stairway quit shaking, and then you step up to the next step. And that's really what he's kind of talking about here. You know, once you have an insight, you want to have time to become stabilized in that insight. And then take the next step on the stairway to heaven. Because this isn't a path of learning information. I mean, you can cram a lot of information into your brain. But that's not the same thing as becoming stabilized in an insight. Right? In fact, if you have an insight, oh, wow. And then stay and have another insight, oh, wow. And then stay and have another insight, oh, wow. Those first insights just kind of fall out the back of the head somehow, you know, because you didn't take time to go and become stabilized in them. So let me read this paragraph again. People come here and stay for days, weeks, even months. The first few days what they have heard takes root, and that is when they should leave. So that what has taken root will have time to grow and blossom. As soon as the seed takes root, they must go. What has taken root must bloom, must express itself within each heart. The questioner says, Maharaj has said in this respect that the teachings were his guru's, that the understanding was his. And I don't know what Nisargadatta is going to say, but I think this is a pretty nice point that the questioner is making too. You know, if you happen to have an outer teacher, you know, you will hear teachings come from that teacher. Like if you come here for a retreat, most of the time it's me. Sometimes it's Jacqueline. Sometimes it's Anne so far. But the teacher may say something that provides, that seems to provide or seems to catalyze an insight, but the insight is yours, right? You're the one that has to coddle that insight. You know, the teacher was just the catalyst or the assistant. And whatever insight you have, likelihood is there are other people sitting around that aren't having that same insight. In fact, we recently had a retreat here, which Ron was at, and Shauna was at, and Len Castaldo was at, and Cheryl was at. And the very last day of the retreat, we were sitting right out here in my yard by the river. And in the last half hour of the retreat, actually, I went around and I asked each of them to share if you're going to take one thing home with you. And this is where really your insight, you know, is being stated. If you're going to take one thing home with you from this retreat, what is it? Each and every one of them stated something different, right? So the insights, you know, and they all sat there through the same curriculum, through the same discussions. But the insight that connected for them personally was something different. And so the insight is yours. And so, you know, you go away from the teacher then or away from the retreat then with the insight that, you know, really I'm going to call it the God-given gift. You know, the God-given gift that was given to you on the retreat, and then you nurse that insight. You stabilize in that insight. Okay, so the questioner says, Maharaj has said in this respect that the teachings were his guru's, but the understanding was his. Nisargadatta says, my guru told me that consciousness alone is the guru. All other developments sprouted within me. The fruit should grow on your own plant. And I think that's probably the most important. I mean, we still have several paragraphs to read, but I'm going to go ahead and declare that as the most important sentence in this message, even though I haven't read the whole message yet. I think that's so important. The fruit should grow on your own plant. I should not sow my understandings in you. I have no use for traditions or traditional knowledge. If you do the slightest research on tradition, you will see that it is all a concept. I am concerned with only one fact. Here, I was in my wholeness, not even aware of my awareness. Then suddenly, this consciousness sprang up. How did it come about? That is the question which needs investigating. One must understand how clever this fraud of Maya is. You know, one must understand how clever this fraud of Maya, which means illusion, is. First, it shows us our body and makes us believe that we are the body. But the body is nothing but a speck of fertilized sperm. And in that sperm, the consciousness is latent. You see what a fraud it is? The essence of the body is the essence of the food stuff, which means I'm a giant brownie today. I felt like a giant brownie after I ate. You know those brownies my mom has in the freezer, Shauna? I finished packing today, so I thought, okay, I get one of those giant brownies. Oh my God. After I finished eating that brownie, I swear I did. I felt like a giant brownie. The essence of the body is the essence of the food stuff. And this consciousness lies dormant in it from the very beginning. In that state of consciousness is the entire universe. Having seen this, whoever has understood is bound to be quiet, knowing that this is only a transient happening. An enormous structure of concepts being taught to us as knowledge is based on the simple appearance of consciousness. And that's the last paragraph, which is good, so we can spend some time here. So I will tell you my understanding. but remember, where's that important sentence here? The fruit should grow on your own plant, right? But let me share my understanding. Because, you know, the word consciousness, again, if you look up the word consciousness in a really good dictionary, you're going to get 10 to 12 definitions. And when our teachers use this word, they do use this word differently. You know, like Bernadette Roberts is very clear on what she means by consciousness. You know, so we don't have any doubt in our mind about her definition. But that is not the definition that Nisargadatta is using in this reading. He is referring to consciousness as something extremely universal, at the very least, and possibly he's using the word consciousness to refer to the absolute. You know, sometimes the word consciousness gets used to refer to the I am presence, and sometimes the word consciousness gets used to refer to the absolute, which really makes it sometimes difficult to understand exactly which level the teacher is pointing to. And I suppose it doesn't matter which level he's pointing to here. We could kind of maybe breed it both ways. But what he is saying is that Maya, of course, makes us think that we are this body, right? This food body, this brownie body. But what lies dormant, and dormant is such a key word, what lies dormant in this body from the very beginning, back when it was a breast milk body, right? What lies dormant in this body from the very beginning is what he's referring to as consciousness. In this case, it's not what Bernadette Roberts is talking about. Bernadette Roberts is talking about that sense of I am that every human has. And that is mostly unconscious, she says. But at the same time, every human knows they exist. I wouldn't refer to that as dormant. I would refer to that in exactly the way she does, mostly unconscious. Dormant is, to me, sounds deeper. So if my sense of existence, my sense of self is present. And I dig into that sense of existence, that sense of self. And I become more and more aware of what I am. It's kind of like the iceberg rising, right? I become more and more aware of what I am, which is the I am presence. At some point, I see myself genuinely as the universe. And that's called unity consciousness. And then if I continue to reflect on that, at some point I go through the final doorway where I go beyond unity consciousness as what I am to the absolute, which, as you all know, I called isness in the Tao teaching of chapter 25. And some people call that consciousness. Regardless of whether he's talking about the deeper unconscious levels of the unity consciousness, or regardless of whether he's talking about beyond that to the absolute, what he is saying is that it is dormant in every single body. And of course, body here is really a symbol. We could also say it's dormant in every single mind or every single soul. But what's really important about this is it means that it's already a part of every one of us. It's kind of like a seed that we're born with. And it's just up to us as to whether we water that seed and allow it to blossom. The essence of the body is the essence of the foodstuff. And this consciousness lies dormant in it from the very beginning. You know, I had a stepbrother, actually now two stepbrothers, who died at a fairly young age. I think one was in his upper 50s and the other one was maybe in his lower 60s. They were both around my age, but one died 4 years ago and one died the other day in early July. And both of these stepbrothers spent a significant amount of time in their lifetime drinking and doing drugs. One to a worse degree than the other, but both to a significant degree. And in the end, that's what killed their bodies. You know, their bodies just couldn't handle the abuse. But I remember, especially with the first one, I remember just thinking, what a waste of a lifetime. You know, I mean, let's read this as enlightenment lies dormant in every single human. Enlightenment is already there, absolutely complete, dormant in every single human. And so it's up to you if you'll use this lifetime to engage in the practices that bring it out of dormancy into your direct experience. And, you know, thinking of it as dormant already in you is so much different than thinking it's something you have to achieve or something you have to gain, right? It's already there. It's already whole. It's already complete. It's just not conscious yet. Think about that. In essence, the essence of the body is the essence of the foodstuff, and this consciousness lies dormant in it from the very beginning. In that state of consciousness is the entire universe. Now that's sentence leads me to think that he's talking about the absolute, but I can't say I know that for sure. Because he's not saying that state of consciousness is one with the entire universe. He's saying that the entire universe is within that state of consciousness, right? So it makes me think he's talking about the absolute, but you can't say for sure. In that state of consciousness is the entire universe. Having seen this, whoever has understood is bound to be quiet. So to me, the opposite of quiet here is involved, right? Involved with the world, involved with the thoughts, involved with the drama. And quiet is not involved, not attached. Whoever has understood is bound to be quiet, knowing that this world, this food body, this person, these thoughts, this apparent moment, knowing that this is only a transient happening. So if I really have that knowledge of myself beyond the universe, which is what I think he's talking about here, and yet there's this experience too. I mean, Nisargadatta always talks about how yet there's this experience too, right? Of, you know, kind of a person in a world. But yet there's this actual knowledge of being that which is beyond the entire universe. How involved am I going to be in this experience? Am I going to be worried about it? Am I going to be caught up in needing to have things my way? Or am I going to just be, which was the moral of last week's message, right? Just be is what he told the guy. Having seen this, let me start to begin the paragraph. This is such a cool paragraph. The essence of the body is the essence of the foodstuff. And this consciousness lies dormant in it, in the body, from the very beginning, in every body, in every person, in every human mind. Enlightenment is already whole and complete, but dormant. That's amazing. In that state of consciousness is the entire universe. Having seen this, whoever has understood is bound to be quiet, knowing that this is only a transient happening. An enormous structure of concepts being taught to us as knowledge is based on the simple appearance of consciousness. And he was talking before about traditions. He says, I have no use for traditions or traditional knowledge. And what he may be referring to here again, I don't know for sure. Don't have Nisargadatta here to confirm what I'm saying. But you know, if you think of Buddhism, Buddhism started with the one we call Buddha, right? Siddhartha started with Buddha, Gautama Buddha. Gautama Buddha would have knowledge of this consciousness that he's speaking of, or knowledge of the absolute. He called it nirvana. Right? And then all of his teachings were based on that. And his teachings multiplied, meaning people added teachings to them, and then multiplied, people added teachings to them, and multiplied, and people added teachings to them. And we ended up being taught a bunch of knowledge. I mean, Buddhism gets very complicated, Christianity gets very complicated, Hinduism gets very complicated. Right? Islam, very complicated. We have these enormous structures of concepts that were based on a simple awareness of truth, a simple awareness of consciousness that came from the founder of each of these traditions. And so maybe what he's telling us is forget the traditions, and go back to the simple. And then let's go back to this sentence. Oh my God, this is so important. The fruit should grow on your own plant. Because you know what all these traditions do. I don't care if you're Christian or Buddhist or Muslim or Hindu. What most people do, or Course in Miracles, I don't care if you're a Course in Miracles student, you know, or a student of Regina Don Acres. I mean, I don't care. What most people do is they listen to the teacher. They try to understand what the teacher understood. Do you hear how friggin' impossible that is? To try to understand what someone else understood, you'll never know that in that way. Right? I mean, eventually, in a way, you get there, but you have to go into your own understanding. You don't go out and with your head try to understand what someone else understood. You go within. Now, eventually, you end up in the same place, so sure, then you understand what they understood. But it's a going within, not a going out and trying to learn and trying to understand what they understood. And that's what really all religions are based on. People trying to understand what Jesus understood. Trying to understand what Buddha understood, trying to understand what Muhammad understood, but from an outward, learned, outward focused way, a knowledge-based way, adding concept on top of concept on top of concept. And remember what he's saying here, you know, once this understanding takes root in you, you should leave. You should go into your own contemplation and meditation. The fruit should grow on your own plant. And you should stay focused on the simple insight and forget the traditions. Forget the teachings. Be Buddha. Don't learn from Buddha. Do what he did. He didn't know a dang thing. He just went within and found out. And you can do that too. Stop learning from others and start finding out what lies dormant, already whole and already complete within you. And that's the end. Thanks, you guys. Bye.